Suppose I will.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's all stand. We'll sing our first song, Send the Light. There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless way. Send the light. Send the light. There are souls to rescue, their souls to say, send the light, send the light, send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore, send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Let us pray, may grace may everywhere abound. Send the light, send the light. And a Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Seated.
Good morning, friends and neighbors. Welcome to Crossroads Baptist Church this morning. Our God is still on his throne, and Jesus is alive. Amen. He's our Lord and Savior, and praise God, he is. Well, welcome to a very special service this morning. We're glad that you've come in to worship with us this morning. And we have this is a Mission Sunday. We have our missionary here with us, Rodney Fitzsimmons with the Carpenters Project. And I'll talk a little bit more about that ministry. It's good as a church to be able to support missions. And this is one of those missions that we support. And what I really like about the Carpenters Project, I like all our missionaries. We support a number of missionaries. But what I really like about the Carpenters Project is how far they reach. So many different countries that they reach into. Haiti, Ethiopia, Somalia, Myanmar, and India, and other places that I haven't thought to mention that maybe Brother Rodney will mention. If you weren't here for Sunday school, wow, what a testimony he gave about how he got saved and got into missions. in his missions work, and now the work that they're doing is the Carpenter's Project. What a blessing to be a part of that. Now, there are other missionaries that we support out there, and of course, the Change for Children brings up two missionaries. There's that Pastor Lito in the Philippines, and we help to support him on a monthly basis. And then we do the Change for Children, which is divided between his ministry and Dr. Chile's ministry in India. And this little change take up is for feeding hungry children in those two countries. Those two countries have so many orphan children those two ministries help to support. Of course, Dr. Chile has five orphanages that they support in addition to their Bible college. And then Pastor Lito in the Philippines, they go into that cemetery and into those other places in the Philippines to help feed those families and those children. Great, great ministries, and we're all a part of that. We are a missions-minded church doing as much as we can to reach out and help with missions. And then also, don't forget that we're still taking up funds to help send support to those persecuted Christians in Myanmar. Of course, that's through the Carpenter's Project. There are, shall we say, our resource to be able to get those funds to Myanmar. And he might mention and talk a little bit about how much support has been given there and the distributions that have been going on there. Also keep in mind there, you notice it on your bulletin, we have a number of our youth who are going to be going to Camp Assurance for summer camp here in the next couple of weeks. And it's going to be great to see them go to camp. I hope that they have a great, great time while they're there and come back praising the Lord and loving the Lord more than they ever did before they went, and also having a lot of fun at camp. So be in prayer for those kids as well. We do, you notice that Barry's not here this morning to do the sound system. Barry's in the hospital. He has a kidney stone that he's having trouble passing. They're going to have to go in there. That stone's too big. He likes to grow them big. And you're going to have to go in there and figure out how to get that stone out of there. So be in prayer for Barry. He's in the hospital as of yesterday and still in there today. And then also remember to pray for Dennis Fink. He is back in the hospital again this weekend. And lift him up in your prayers and his family as well. And, of course, there's a lot of other people that have needs that we need to be in prayer for. So, praise the Lord. And don't forget, in your bulletin, there's a tear-off here. And it says prayer request. If you have a prayer request, write it on there. Drop it in the offering plate. We'll pray for those requests this next coming week. Now, also, when we take up our offering today, if you want to give a special offering toward the Carpenter's Project, because Brother Rodney is here, Feel free to write that on your offering envelope. We'll be sure to get that to him before he leaves today. And then also we've got the other stuff that's going on as well. Well, so before we get to our offering, this is not our regular offering. We're going to go ahead and do our change for children. And we collect this change, and when we have a mission Sunday, we pour it in that bucket. We take it, we send it off to these missionaries to feed these hungry children. So let's go ahead and just bring your jars up. Let's go ahead and pour our change into this change for children bucket. And as you listen to this change going in this bucket, just think about the hungry children who are going to get to eat because of it. There you go. All right. Come on up. What's that? Oh, somebody will pour it in there. Old Jed or somebody can pour that in there. Oh, is that why she left? Okay, we thought maybe she got mad at us. No, just kidding. We know better than that. I said we thought maybe she got mad. Never mind, brother. It's not worth worrying about.
Take dirt and all. Got some real estate in there, maybe. I don't know.
Real estate? Yeah. All right. We'll send them some land. Look at there. All right. That bucket's getting heavy. All right. Hey, take your jars home with you. You got to fill them up again. All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Lord, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to serve you. We love you so very much. We know there are so many around the world that love you. And Lord, we thank you for all this change that was given this morning. Lord, it is a privilege and an honor to be able to take this change and to send it to help feed hungry children around the world. And we pray you would cause this change to go 100 times farther than we could ever make it go on our own. Lord, we pray that you would bless Pastor Lido and Dr. Chile and help them in their ministries, provide for their ministries, and Lord, help them with those hungry children. We ask you to guide us now as we continue in our service and our ministry here at Crossroads Baptist Church. We thank you for our people. We thank you for Brother Rodney. We ask you, Lord, to guide us as we continue to sing. Guide us as we worship you, and then guide us as we worship you and listening to the word as Brother Rodney brings it here in just a little bit, that we would be fed. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Let's all stand again. We'll sing Redeemed, page 258.
Done
Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Give thanks.
Amen. Let's all stand for our last song, Rescue the Perishing. Singing this morning. You may be seated.
Tomorrow, and I know bring me poverty. But the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. In the path that be my portion,
praise the Lord. We got involved with the Carpenters Project many, many years ago as a church. And I remember, I don't remember exactly how I met John Conrad. It was somewhere at some, maybe at one of the pastor's meetings or something. Yeah, I met him, and I remember one of the things that he did to kind of introduce me to his ministry was he wanted to take me golfing. And John's a pretty good golfer, and I'm a pretty terrible golfer. And, you know, I don't go golfing. I golf at it. And there's a big difference. I don't count how many strokes I take on the golf course because I can't count that high. I count how many golf balls I lose. And that frustrates John because it's like I'm forever searching for balls. And he's a pretty good golfer. I don't know. Rodney's probably a pretty good golfer, too. I don't know. But I'm sure John took you golfing, too. No, never? Wow, I'm surprised. Well, he took me golfing a couple times, actually, on different occasions. And finally, I just told him, you know, John, golfing frustrates me. And I'm sure I frustrate you. So maybe we ought to just go to lunch. And but I like John. John and I get along great. I remember when he brought Brother Rodney on when he was looking for somebody. John's getting up there in the years, and you know, his body's telling him he can't do as much as he used to do. And he was looking for somebody to join him in his ministry that could kind of take over the ministry. It looks like he found the right guy in Rodney and his wife. So just thankful for them. Thankful for the ministry. As I said before, I love the Carpenters Project because of their reach. I love the Carpenters Project for the Timothy program. I remember when I first started, I told John, I said, John, I talked to my church and we're going to start giving monthly support to the Carpenters Project. It's not a lot, but it'll be consistent. And he said, you know, I've never had a church do that before. And he said, I'm going to just put it toward the Timothy Project. And, you know, the Timothy Project, as has been mentioned, is when one of these Bible colleges trains up a potential pastor and they start going out into the field, whether in Ethiopia, Myanmar, India, wherever it might be, in one of those 1040 countries, as he called them over there, in the 1040 window. And if you don't know what that is, it's a longitude-latitude 1040 window, and it's mostly Muslim and Buddhist, and very few Christians. And they help support those pastors, and bunches of pastors, as Brother Rodney mentioned in Sunday school. What did you say, over 60? 60 pastors, which represents 60 church starts. As a pastor graduates from one of these known Bible colleges, there's one in Ethiopia, there's one in Myanmar, there's one in India, and they train for pastors all over that 1040 window. And there's one in the Philippines now, too. They started that one in the Philippines since we've been supporting them. Pretty amazing that these potential pastors come from all over that 1040 window. They're born-again Christians, Baptists, and they come to these Baptist colleges, and they get trained to go out and start churches. And then in the Timothy Project, they'll support them for 5 years. They've done things like, I remember in Ethiopia, you know, a pastor needed to get around. They bought him a bicycle. I thought to myself, a bicycle. But you know what? The pastors were thrilled to get him down there. He talked in Sunday school about the pastor wanting a water buffalo. That's like the John Deere in Burma. And a water buffalo, they go out there and they can hire that out and they can actually supplement their income if their church can't support them just by renting out their John Deere, you know. I don't know if they have to paint the water buffalo green and put a deer symbol on the side. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding. You know, I like to kid around. But it's an amazing ministry. And here at Crossroads Baptist Church, we're a part of it. And I'm just thrilled to know Rodney. So glad that he's here today. I love it when he comes. I love it when John comes. I miss John. I'd like to see John. I haven't talked to him in a while. Need to call him on the phone. Need to go down there and visit him in Florida. He'll want me to go golfing. And I hope it's next to the ocean so all the golf balls can go off in the ocean so I don't have to look for them. Anyway, we wouldn't want to do that. We don't want the dolphins eating them. Anyway, all right. But without further ado, I want Rodney to come up here. He's going to share a little bit more about his work. Before he starts, we got a video. We're going to let you see this video, and it's going to tell you a little bit about the ministry. Then he's going to come up. He's going to tell a little bit about his ministry, and he's going to open the word for us today. He's God's man for this occasion, for this day. And I believe we're going to be blessed for hearing him. Amen. God's going to work through him for us. So let's pray. Lord, we love you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we thank you. I thank you that each one of the people in this place today and that we love you, Lord. You've saved us. You sent your only begotten Son while we were yet sinners, while we were yet lost and didn't even know we needed you. You sent your Son to break his body in our place and for our sins, to be the propitiation for our sins, to shed his precious blood, the precious blood of God on Calvary's cross, the only blood that can wash our sins away and purge us. And we are fully forgiven and pardoned because of that. But more importantly, Lord, you resurrected Jesus physically from the grave, and he is alive, ascended on high, seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And he still loves us there. He is fully aware of us, moment by moment, day by day, all the time, making intercession for us. Thank you, Jesus. Almighty God, for loving us as much as you do, and all reaching out to us as much as you do. And Lord, help us deep down in our hearts to want to know you and to want to please you more than anything else in life. And use us in every aspect of our lives to honor you. I thank you for Rodney. I ask you to anoint him, fill him with your Holy Spirit. Speak through him this morning to us. Lord, we need to hear from you through him this morning. So use him to speak to us this morning as only you can. Now guide us as we continue. Be magnified and glorified. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
In 2001, God burdened my heart for missionaries who are taking the gospel to the unreached. God did not burden me for a particular country or people, but to help missionaries and nationals reach the lost through church planting and evangelism. And since its inception, the Carpenters Project has assisted church planters in the Americas, Africa, and Asia. Recently, God answered my prayers for help and led missionary Rodney Fitzsimmons to join the ministry.
For 32 years, my wife, Kathy, and I were missionaries to Haiti. During that time, God richly blessed our ministry. Now, due to Kathy's health, we are no longer able to live in Haiti. God has provided the opportunity for us to continue to minister to the Haitian people and to others around the world through the Carpenters Project. Paul instructed Timothy to teach faithful men the truths he had received so that they would be able to teach others also. We believe that the key to establishing local, indigenous, New Testament churches is training nationals for the ministry. Equipped with sound doctrine, they can go under the authority of their local church to plant churches where the Lord leads them. The Carpenters Project partners with American missionaries and indigenous local pastors who are training nationals to go forth and establish Bible-believing churches through evangelism, discipleship, and teaching those called to the ministry to go and do the same.
Through partnerships with indigenous Bible institutes, the Carpenters Project assists graduates who are called to a church planting ministry. The Timothy Project provides temporary financial support to national pastors who are starting a church in a small town or rural area. Although the national may be from the same country and often a familiar ethnic group, they are considered outsiders and need time to gain the acceptance of the people. The Carpenters Project has partnered in several dozen church plants in the Caribbean, East and West Africa, and Asia.
We believe it is still the mission of the church to preach the gospel to every creature. Therefore, we assist pastors and their churches in their evangelistic outreaches. We sponsor open-air evangelistic services as churches reach into unevangelized areas. Teams of church workers travel to these areas and stay for several days to share the gospel with those who have never heard. These meetings are often accompanied with teaching and activities during the daytime, especially for children and young people. We also work with nationals in several countries to reach lost souls by providing equipment for a film ministry. Films that give a clear presentation of the message of salvation through Christ are held both indoors and outdoors to many who otherwise might never hear. It is so important that national workers have gospel literature to distribute as they endeavor to reach lost souls. We help provide these services with Bibles, New Testaments, John Romans, and gospel tracts for their evangelistic outreaches. We regularly visit these fields to spend time with the pastors and see their ministries. While there, we hold Bible conferences and teaching seminars, as well as revival and evangelistic services.
The Carpenters Project has worked in more than a dozen countries and participated in the construction or renovation of more than 80 buildings. Having a permanent place of worship is critical for the growth and stability of a new church. For many church planters in undeveloped areas, it's a daunting task.
Amen.
Once a church obtains land, designs a suitable building, and recruits volunteers to provide some or all of the labor, the Carpenters Project helps by providing funds for the purchase of the building materials. Churches have asked us to help with buildings, small and large, made with brick, block, or wood, and built on flat land, hillsides, and mountains.
When Jesus saw the multitudes, his heart was moved with compassion for them. He said to his disciples that the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So he told them what must be done. We must pray for the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into his harvest. The Carpenters Project exists to train nationals for the ministry and then assist them in establishing churches to reach lost souls, disciple converts, and train these disciples to do the same. When you pray and give to the Carpenters Project, you are helping to send laborers into the harvest.
Right. I shared in Sunday school that the purpose of the Carpenters Project is church planting. This is what New Testament missions, as we see in the book of Acts, was all about. So our ministry focuses on... Yes, sir?
Yeah, it's on.
Okay. Right. Our ministry focuses on doing this by, number one, helping Bible schools in foreign countries that are training nationals for the ministry. You know, our country, the Lord has blessed us. We've sent out missionaries, and we need to continue to send out missionaries. I was a missionary in Haiti for over 30 years. But where men have gone in the past, started ministries, these ministries are now being run by nationals. where they are training nationals for the ministry. These nationals can be missionaries. They know the language already. They know the culture. They need a very minimal amount of support. So even though we need to continue sending missionaries, we would be foolish not to be helping nationals in other countries to get their ministries going as well. They many times have the call, the passion, the desire, the preparation to go and start a work. Many times they lack the resources, and we can help in that area. So we help Bible schools that are training nationals for the ministry. Then we help the graduates of those Bible schools. We help them go out and start churches. We help them with personal needs. We help them with ministry needs. We are presently, as the pastor asked me to mention, working in Haiti, the Dominican Republic, in Uruguay, in Africa. We're involved in ministries in Ghana, Ivory Coast, Ethiopia, the South Sudanese refugee camps in Ethiopia. In Asia, we're working in India, Myanmar, Vietnam, and the Philippines. So each month support the Carpenters Project through the Timothy Project, you're helping men that today are preaching the gospel, that are sharing the good news of Christ with people on the other side of the world. And, you know, these people, they no doubt will never have an opportunity on this earth to meet you and thank you. But there's coming a day. Don't be surprised if one day, when you're walking on the streets of gold, somebody comes up and says to you, you know, I've been looking for you. You don't know who they are. And you say, well, why have you been looking for me? They say, well, I heard that you were a member of the Crossroads Baptist Church in Denison, Illinois. And that your church, through the Carpenters Project, sent a missionary to my village. And it's because of that missionary that I heard the gospel and that I'm here today. If that had never happened, I wouldn't be here. And they're going to thank you. Amen. And they're going to thank you. And they're probably going to want to hug your neck. And it's going to be okay because there's no COVID up there. And then we're going to realize, folks, we're going to realize what it was really all about. Amen. What really mattered. And so we are grateful for the part that you have in our ministry and have for many years. It means a lot. It really does. Pray for the Christians in Myanmar. Things there are not good at all. Not only is there the civil war, the military that have taken over, they're trying to make people go back to work to get the government, to get the economy, to get the country going again. The people refuse. They do not want to the military. They want their democratically elected leaders back in power, and therefore they're not willing to go to work. And so, you know, people are running out of money to buy food. People, doctors and nurses won't go to hospitals, and now COVID is making a comeback there, and there's nowhere to go to get help when they get it. So people are dying every day. Brother Samuel there in one of the major cities is having to deal with this. Sends me words how many more people died today as a result of COVID, and others because of the war. So you know, this is a country that I visited many times. I was just there last year. And they need our prayers. Your help, as many others have given thousands. We've sent well over $10,000 to the missionaries that are there to distribute to the families and have helped them buy food. And along with the prayers, putting feet to our prayers and giving this money has meant so much to these people. It really has. The Buddhist gave to the Buddhist people. The Christians were passed over. And they realized that that we Christians, we care, we love them, we want to help them, and we've had several distributions to these people, and we're thankful for your part in that. Turn to your Bibles this morning, if you would, to the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter 1. right after the book of 2 Chronicles, the Old Testament. I'm going to read, we're going to look at the first six verses of the chapter, but let's just read to start with verses 1 and 2. Now the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth. He hath charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Let's pray. Father, this morning we're grateful for your love, your mercy, your grace, your patience, your faithfulness. Lord, you are so good to us. And we want to tell you today that we do love you. And yet, at the same time, we realize, Lord, we don't love you as much as we ought to. We ask you to forgive us. Lord, help us to realize that all we are and all we have belongs to you. Lord, you made us. You redeemed us with the blood of Christ. You set us apart unto yourself, and you have sustained our lives to this moment and given us this day for one purpose, and that is that we might please you. Help us to live this day for that purpose. Help us, Lord, this morning to hear you speak to our hearts through your word. And Lord, to do that, the Holy Spirit must be present. Lord, I can speak to the ear, I cannot speak to the heart. So I ask you to do your work, and that as the word goes forth, for someone here that's not been born again, they would come to the Savior. And that we as believers, Lord, would have a greater desire to walk with you, to serve you, and to do what we can to reach the lost at home and abroad. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
It has been said that the wisdom of the ages is to find out which way God is moving and then move with him. In other words, at any point in human history, for man to truly be wise, he would need to determine, what is God doing in my day? What is God doing now? And then, once he determined that, with all that he is and all that he has, to say, I will move with God.
Amen.
The book of Ezra, we opened with the end of the 70 years of Babylonian captivity. The Babylonians have been defeated by the Medes and Persians. Cyrus, the king of Persia, now has been moved upon by the Spirit of God, a heathen king, and yet the heart of the king, the Bible says, is in the hand of the Lord. He turneth it whithersoever he will. You know, I was thinking as our brother and sister were singing that song this morning, we don't know about tomorrow. I made a prediction before this last election. I don't do that very much, but I did. I made a prediction. I said, you know, the day after the election, God will still be on the throne.
Amen.
You know what? I was right.
Amen.
It's easy to make those kind of predictions, isn't it? We know who holds our hand. We know who's in control. We know who's in charge. And here we have God moving upon the heart of this heathen king. And this king now says to the Jews who have been in captivity for 70 years, he says to them, that God wants you, he's charged me to commission you to go back to the city of Jerusalem and rebuild the temple of God. The temple was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. And now the Jews have opportunity to return and rebuild the temple. In order to do that, he asks in verse 3 for volunteers. He says, who is there among you? And that's the title of our message this morning. Who is there among you? Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him. Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. The king asked for volunteers. Who will go. And the people responded, because it says in verse 5, then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, with all them whose spirit God had raised, to go up to build the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem. The Spirit of God moved upon the hearts of certain individuals among the Jews who said, yes, we will go. We will leave this land. We've been born here. We have our businesses here. This is what we know, but this is what God wants us to do. We will leave and we will go back to Jerusalem and we will rebuild the temple of God. Now, after he asked for volunteers in verse 3, the king makes a command in verse 4. He says, and whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. He makes a command. He says, those of you who do not go, you are now to help those who are going to go. You are to provide them the means whereby they might go and do what God wants done, your God, the God of Israel. Well, how did they respond? Verse 6. All they that were about them, all they who were about those who were going to go, who said we would go, they strengthened their hands with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, with beasts, with precious things beside all that was willingly offered. Amen. They responded. They did what they were commanded to do. They provided the means whereby those who were going to go and do the work could have what was necessary to see the work accomplished. Now, you go on in the book and you'll find that in chapter 6, the building was completed and it was dedicated. But between chapter 1 and chapter 6, there were some hard times. There were some difficulties. There were some trials. And yet it was done. It was accomplished. And I believe the reason is because there we find in verse 6, the second word, the little word, A-double-L, all. Everyone got involved. Everyone realized they could have a part. It might not be a big part, but it could be something. They realized, hey, you know, God is moving and we are going to move with God. Amen. We're going to get involved in what God is doing in our day. We are going to move with Him. Amen. And the temple was rebuilt.
Yes.
Now, let's go over to the book of 1 Peter. We're done here in Ezra. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. We ask this question. Where is God moving today? Where is God moving today? We saw back in Ezra where God was moving at that moment in time. Where is God moving today? What is God accomplishing today? And am I moving with God? Am I involved in what God is doing? Notice here in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says in verse 4, to whom coming, referring to Christ, as unto a living stone. He is the stone that the builders rejected. And yet he has become the head of the foundation. In fact, the Bible says, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is the foundation of our faith.
Amen.
He is the foundation of our life, of our church. He Amen. Is the foundation. Coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, he came unto his own received him not. He was rejected of men, and yet he was chosen of God, the anointed of God, the Messiah promised all the way back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, and he is precious. Isn't he though? To you and I who know him, isn't he precious?
Amen.
But notice it says in verse 5, ye also, referring to believers, as lively or living stones, are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the foundation laid by the apostles and the prophets. You and I, here it says, we are living stones built upon this foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. How did we become a living stone in this spiritual house? Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The moment that you recognize that you were lost because of your sin, there was nothing you could do to save yourself. But you realize that Jesus died, he shed his blood, he paid the price to save you from your sin, and he died on Calvary, he was buried, he rose again the third day. You trusted in him as your personal Savior, realizing that salvation is a gift, the gift of God. There was nothing for you to do. And you received him as your Savior. You became a living stone in this spiritual house. Hallelujah. The Bible says this house grows in Ephesians chapter 2. It grows. Well, how does it grow? Every time someone trusts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, another stone is added to this spiritual house. One time a lady asked me, she said, how do you measure success in your ministry in Haiti? I said, every time someone bows their head and trusts Jesus as their Savior, that's success.
Amen.
That's what it's all about. This spiritual house grows. Someone must go. You see, it says there, that verse I quoted, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then he asked us some questions. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Someone must go and tell them. The gospel is only the good news if it gets there in time.
Amen.
Then how shall they go? Preach except they be sent.
Yes.
We must send them. We must send them. In the Old Testament, let's tie it all together. The Old Testament, they were involved in the building of a physical temple, a physical house. There were those who were to go. There were those who were to send them. Everyone was to be involved. You and I today are involved in the building of a spiritual house. We are to be involved in going and we are to be involved in sending. And I said it that way because we today get to be involved in both. Wherever you are, wherever God has placed you, is a mission field.
Yes.
There's no amount of money that you can give to foreign missions that will pay the debt you owe to people right here in your community. You are to be a light to the people in this area and those you come in contact with throughout the week.
Yes.
We can all go where God has placed us. He sent us to the country of Haiti. We went to do what God called us to do. And yet we can all be involved in sending. We can all be involved in having a part in helping others go to places where God has not called or sent us or placed us. Since beginning, even before we were missionaries, so to speak, my wife and I to this day have given a monthly offering to support missionaries through our local church going to places where God has not called us. We can all be involved in going. We can all be involved in sending. Why? Because God is moving today. He's building this spiritual house. People are trusting Christ as their Savior all over the world as we together work to do what God has called us to do. The wisdom of the ages is determined which way is God moving and then move with Him.
Amen.
God is moving. The Great Commission is still the marching orders of the church. And everyone can do something. Everyone can have a part. Everyone can pass out a tract or invite someone to church. Everyone can give to help others go where God has not called you to be a part in helping them do what God's called them to do. We can all be involved and moving with God in the way that God is moving today. Is my life, ask yourself this question, is my life focused on placing all that I am and all that I have at God's disposal in order that I might move with Him? Mm. Well, how will we respond today? How will we respond? At any moment in history when God was moving, there's basically three different ways that men can respond. And I want us to notice this back in Judges. Now, let's go to Judges. This is our final place. Judges chapter 5. We won't take time to look there, but in Judges chapter 4, The Canaanites have oppressed the people of Israel. As we know the story of the book of Judges. The people fall into idolatry. God backs off and the enemy take over. They cry out to God. God sends a judge and delivers them. Deborah and Barak have been sent to deliver the children of Israel from the Canaanites. They've gone to battle in chapter 4 and they've won. God has delivered the enemy into their hands. In chapter 5, they're singing a song of praise to God, thanking him for the deliverance. But in this chapter, we find these three different attitudes as to man's response to moving with God. First of all, we find in verse 17, Judges chapter 5, verse 17, it talks about different tribes, different families in Israel. It talks about the people of Gilead. It says they abode beyond Jordan. When it came to go to battle, these individuals, they just stayed on the other side of the Jordan River. Dan, the tribe of Dan, the soldiers there remained in their ships. Asher, another tribe, they continued on the seashore, abode in his breaches or in their havens. The bottom line is, when God was moving, these people did not move with God. They did not get involved in what God was doing. We could say they were just complacent. They were indifferent. Perhaps they were preoccupied. Perhaps they considered there were other things that were more important. This just was not a priority. They really didn't care that God was moving. And they didn't get involved. You know, we're not called today to be happy. We're called to be holy.
Amen.
The church is not about entertainment. It's about edification. The Christian life is not about being comfortable, but rather about carrying our cross every day. Our purpose on this earth is not achieving the American dream. Our purpose is rather fulfilling the Great Commission of Jesus Christ. Back in February of 93, a ferry was leaving the city of Jeremy in Haiti, traveling to the capital. It was overloaded. Possibly three times as many people on that ferry as there should have been. It was could have held probably comfortably 600 to 700. They think there may have been 2,000 people, along with belongings, going to market. Well, as it traveled during the night, a storm came. Wind was blowing, and people trying to get away from the rain blowing in, they kind of shifted to the other side of the ship, and as they did, it just rolled the ship over, and it sunk. Less than 300 people survived that catastrophe. As a few were able to swim to shore, the fishing villages, the fishermen there, they got in their boats. They headed out to this site. Many of them went in and they rescued people that were drowning and saved many people. But there were some fishermen in their boats that went into this area. People were crying out, and the word in Creole for help is amwe, amwe. They were crying. And these fishermen, rather, they went and they started loading their boats with the belongings that were floating while they let these people drown. When I heard that, it broke my heart to think that people could be so callous and not care, be more concerned about the material things than they were about lost souls. And then almost immediately, as that thought came across my mind, I thought to myself, and yet today, how many times are we more concerned about what we can get in our boat down here on this earth than we are about people that are lost all around us without Christ? Folks, we need to care about lost souls.
Amen.
I pray myself that God would give me a greater burden for lost souls. And then I think to myself, why do I have to pray that prayer? Don't I know what the Bible says about the lake of fire? Don't I believe what the Bible says? Why is my heart not already broken and burdened like it ought to be for lost souls? Why don't we care like we should? Why is there not that concern today as there ought to be for our loved ones and our friends and our neighbors that are lost without Christ? There's coming a day when we will be at the great white throne judgment. As believers, we will not be there to be judged. We will be part of those doing the judging, but the Bible says that we will judge the world. Imagine what it would be like that day, seeing friends and loved ones and neighbors that are lost without Christ, hearing their sentence, "Depart from me, I never knew you, ye workers of iniquity," being cast into the lake of fire. That day we will care. That day we will shed tears for lost souls. But that day it will be too late. We need to care now. We need to do what we can while there's still hope. There are those who were just complacent. They didn't care. God was moving, but they did not move with God. There was another group there, verse 16. "Why abodest thou among the sheepfolds to hear the bleatings of the flocks? For the divisions of Reuben, the tribe Reuben, there were great searchings of heart." Here was a tribe, we would say they were convicted. They recognized, yes, God is moving. They were convicted about the need to move with God, about getting involved. There's a battle going on here, and the people of Israel need to stand together and defeat this enemy. They were convicted about the need, but when the day came to go, they didn't go. They remained among the sheepfolds to hear the bleatings of the flocks. Stirred, but not moved. How often have you and I, we've been in a service and we've heard the preaching of the Word of God and it has stirred our heart. And we thought, you know, I need to make a change in my life. This needs to be changed. I need to do this. And yet we go and a week or two later we forgot all about it. Stirred, but not moved. Remember many years ago hearing a preacher tell about how he was preaching a service, had the invitation after the service. A man came, walked the aisle, knelt down, faithful man in the church, just a young man. The pastor went to him and said, "Is there something I can pray with you about?" He said, "You know, I really believe God is calling me into the ministry." And the pastor said, "That's wonderful. Let's just pray right now and you can surrender and go prepare to be whatever God wants you to be in the ministry." And the man said, "Well, no way, I believe God is calling me, but I don't know. I just don't know if I can do this. Because you see, my wife and I were expecting. We're going to have a child. And we've got to think about her future. And I don't know if in the ministry I can take care of her like I need to." He said, "Oh no, you need to just trust God. God will provide. God will take care of you." But he went back to his seat. A few months went by. And another message. The same man came forward. The pastor went to him. And the man said the same thing again. He said, "I believe God has called me to the ministry." And the pastor encouraged him to surrender and prepare. And he said, "No, we have a little girl now. And she's so much, means so much to my wife and I. We love her so much. And I've got to think about her future. I've got to provide for her. I've got to take care of her." He went back to his seat. A few months went by again, and pastor got a phone call that little girl had passed away. At the funeral, many had come to comfort the young couple. Pastor said he saw something he'd never seen before. The man, the father, standing over the casket, looking at that little body. He put his hands underneath the body. He scooped it up out of the casket. He turned to the crowd and he said, "I can preach now." What had he done? He had counted the cost of obedience. He said, "It's too great. It's too great." He failed to count the cost of disobedience.
Amen.
And I assure you today that the cost of disobedience is far greater than anything that you would ever have to give up to serve God.
Amen.
Convicted. God is moving. We ought to go. We ought to get involved. But just never did. But then there were those. We find them in verse 18. Zebulun and Naphtali, two other tribes in Israel. Zebulun and Naphtali were a people that jeopardized their lives under the death in the high places of the field. These two tribes, these 10,000 soldiers, they said, God is moving and we will move with God. Yes, it may be dangerous. Yes, it will be hard. We may even die, but God is moving. We will move with Him. Hudson Taylor, missionary to China from England, went there and spent his life reaching the Chinese with the gospel. Did a great work. After being there many years, he went back to England and went to church with one goal, one purpose. He shared the need of cities, of millions, even back then, millions of people. No one to tell them of Christ. And he would give an invitation very specifically. He said, is there anyone here tonight, as I have shared the need in China, who would say that God is calling me to go to China as a missionary? And that was the invitation. And there were churches where he preached, and there were individuals, there were couples, there were young people that came forward and said, we will go to China. And they went. Did a great work. Yeah. He was at one church and the invitation was given. The first verse was sung and nobody came. The second verse again, nobody came. Finally they announced this will be the final verse. Right at the very end of the third verse, the final verse, a man stepped out from the side. He walked down the side. He came forward. And as he was coming, Hudson Taylor went to meet him, but he noticed he was walking with a limp. Hudson Taylor said, why have you come? And he looked at Hudson Taylor kind of surprised. He said, well, I've come to say I'll go to China. Isn't that what you wanted? And Hudson Taylor said, yes, but I notice you're walking with a limp. Do you have some kind of a physical infirmity that might hinder you from being effective as a missionary? You've got to be in good health. And the man said, well, actually, I only have one real leg. The other's a wooden leg. That's why I walk with a limp. Hudson Taylor said, you mean you only have one leg and you're going to go to China as a missionary? Why would you do that? He said, well, you know, I waited. And I waited. And I waited. And nobody with two legs was willing to go. So I said, Lord, here am I. Send me. Consecrated. You know, consecration is not giving something to God. Consecration is us taking our hands off of what already rightly belongs to Him. Amen. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, but you're bought with a price? Wherefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. All that you and I as believers are, all that we have, rightly belongs to Him. He has every right to demand our total obedience. He has every right to demand that we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice yielded unto Him to do His will. And yet, He does not force us. It's our call. It's your call. The degree to which you will yield your life to live for the Lord, the degree to which you will move with God in what God is doing today, it's your call. God lets it up to you. What will you do today? The wisdom of the ages. Folks, God is moving. God is moving. The Great Commission. Saving souls, growing His church in every one of us as He desires, as He wills, should be moving with Him. Are you today moving with God? Your church is. Your church, look, this morning, the offering, your support of missionaries. Yes, your church is. But am I, as an individual, am I doing everything that God wants me to do. If you had been to heathen lands where weary souls stretch out their hands to plead, yet no one understands, would you do more for missions? If you had seen the women bear their heavy load with none to share, had heard them weep with none to care, would you do more for missions? If you had seen the glorious sight when heathen people in their night were brought from darkness into light, would you do more for missions? Yet still they wait, a weary throng. They've waited some so very long. When will despair be turned to song? When you do more for missions. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the attentiveness of everyone here. Lord, I pray that we would realize just how short our lives are, but a vapor, the Bible says. And Lord, only what we do for you is going to count. It's going to last. Help us to examine our lives individually and ask ourselves, am I moving with you, Lord? Am I doing my part? Am I surrendered to you? Am I willing to go, if you want me to go, to another country as a missionary? Am I doing what I can to send? Am I praying for our missionaries, for their needs? Am I being a witness right here in my community, in my area? Lord, you are moving. It's very clear from your word that you are, and where you're moving, help us to move with you. And Lord, again, one more time, we ask, if there's someone here that's not sure of salvation, they've been born again, help them to know that you would save them today, and you can help them. We can take the word and help them. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Pastor?
As you stand, we sing. If you need to come forward for any reason, feel free to come forward and we'll pray with you in the altar.
Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow.
Now, we do have a meal. We're glad that you, for all who have cooked and brought in food, thank you. And we're going to go out there and eat up your delicious food. And
take some time to talk to Brother Rodney, get to know him, talk to him some more about the ministry, and I don't know, maybe somebody here will say, hey, maybe I need to be a missionary. Talk to Brother Rodney about how to become a missionary. That would be a great thing to look into anyway. So we'll just continue to go out and eat. So let's pray, and we'll pray for the food, and close our service, and we'll ask Brother Rodney to go through the line for the food first. I don't, ladies, is the food already ready? And is it? What's that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Lord, we praise you. We thank you for our services today. And Lord, thank you for the missionaries we get to support. What a blessing it is, Lord, to be able to support them in their work. And Lord, help us to always remember how important it is to reach out through missions. And also, Lord, to remember that we have many, many people right here that live around us, Lord, that are our mission together. We need to be about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with them and being the light of Jesus before them. Lord, bless us and guide us. Bless us food and drink for the nourishment of our bodies. We thank you for the hands that prepared it. We thank you for providing it for us, Lord. And we ask that you would bless us and guide us in our fellowship as we eat. And guide us as we close this service. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.